we'll go back and review just a while. It's been a couple of weeks, so I about forgot myself what's going on. But the song says, "Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." David felt that same way. We should feel that same way in the presence of the Lord all every day. When our salvation came to us, it should stay renewed. But David felt that way when he was bringing the ark back. We'll read about that. Man, he was on cloud nine. He was doing some rejoicing to the Lord. He was worshiping Him in his heart. And that's what we need to do more of. We shouldn't go through formalities, you know, like a lot of these church members do. That's not worshiping God at all. And He knows that. He sees right through this stuff. 2 Samuel. I think I know where we stopped. Somewhere around 17th, 18th, 19th verse. And do you remember, Neil?
Look,
chapter 5, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. So what has happened? David has been crowned king. He's king over everybody now. He's king over everybody. All Israel. And his first thing he did, his first act as king, was go over there and take back that city of Jerusalem from a bunch of heathens that, you know, said, "Hey, you think you can do this? You come on. We don't think you can." But he did. He defeated them and he set up his house there. His second act was his second big thing he did was right here in 17. These Philistines, they had defeated. I remember that they defeated Saul. They killed Saul and Jonathan in battle. And boy, they was victorious. These people against God and His people. They went back. So now they are hearing that David is now the king. The new kingdom is starting to come together. Everybody's getting united. Well, these Philistines, they get a little stirred up over that. They say, you know, we can't. They still had a lot of confidence in themselves because they had victory over Israel the last time they went to war with them. So they said, you know what? We need to go over there and kind of stub this thing in the ground before they get rooted good. So that's what they're doing. So in verse 17, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed King David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hole. So David, his men done told him, "Here they come." God's people are never at rest. I'm telling you, we can be at fellowship and just on cloud nine. We had a good Bible conference, and you know, we just into the Word and just feel so good and strong. And now again, but Satan is right there across the street. Here he comes. What, Sunday night, as soon as they got out of sight, here comes Satan trying to break in. So there's never any rest for God's people, is what I'm trying to say. So David hears of this, so he gets his forces up. He said, "Well, let's go down there and beat them." David inquired of the Lord. That's what we need to take note of right there. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines?" He didn't just say, "I need to get all my army here and let's go attack them." What did he do? He went to prayer. He inquired of the Lord. He asked the Lord what he should do. And we need to do the same thing in our daily wars. In our daily encounters, we need to seek God's guidance. We do it on our own, like Saul did, and you're going to be defeated. I am going to be defeated. "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" You know, he's asking, what do you want me to do, Lord? I got an army here waiting, but I ain't doing nothing until I hear from you. And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, and I will doubtless..." There's no doubt here. "I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." Now David has confidence. And David came to Bethpirazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters," like a dam. You know, a dam holds back waters. And when that dam finally gives way and breaks and water just rushes over everything, how it just consumes everything in its path, that's what he did here to those Philistines. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. A breach is what that means. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Now, it was a custom of these armies to carry their god, their so-called gods. And David called them, in the battle before, he called them, they were blind. They had feet, but they couldn't walk. They were dumb. He made fun of them. He made light of them. But yet these people had a lot of money invested. They probably had gold plated or just pure gold and silver. And they would carry these images with them in the battle, knowing that that would protect them. Well, they left them all. David wiped them out. But what did David do? We don't gather up those spoils, those idol worship, and go sell them. That army could have bought a lot of cows and goats and sheep, and they could have had a really stockpile their stuff. But David says, burn them. 1 Chronicles 14:12 says this. It's a little more clear. And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they burned with fire. They were burned with fire. He said, we have nothing to do with that. Burn them. Get rid of them. Bust them in pieces. And they burned them. Now, these Philistines were defeated, wasn't they? Verse 22. And the Philistines came up yet again. Now, I don't know how long it is between these two battles. And they spread themselves into the valley of Rephaim, or whatever you say that. Josephus, I was reading him, and he seemed to think that first battle, the Philistines were so proud and arrogant, they didn't take them all. He said, y'all, we'll just take our elite forces and leave our backups. We can take care of them. They're just a young nation. Well, they got tore up. The dam broke, so to speak, in verse 21. They got drowned. They got whipped. Well, this time, the Philistines are serious. They're not playing around. Josephus seems to think they're like three times larger than they were in the battle before because of the way they spread themselves. He said, the scripture said they spread themselves. They're all over the place. You ever stirred up some ants in a big old ant pile? They were everywhere.
Keith, I think it's important too to notice that both times before David goes into battle with them, he asks the Lord, am I to go into battle with them? Because he had learned his lesson back some time ago when he didn't ask the Lord to come to battle with him, and Israel got defeated. He makes a point of the fact that
He's not going to do anything till he inquires of the Lord. He's learned his lesson, like you said. Saul, he didn't inquire of the Lord. You know, he went down there and tried to raise up Samuel from the dead, you know, call up the spirits and he inquires of the Lord. But anyway, they're getting ready for a fight again. They spread themselves in this valley. In 23, verse 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, see there, like you said, Neil, he's doing this again. How easy would it be for David, after he give them those Philistines such a whipping, that he could he didn't have to, if he wasn't a man of God, he'd just told his captain, say, look, go on out there and do it again, right now, go take care of them. But no, he did not, he gave all the glory and honor to God for victory. Now he's inquiring again of the Lord. He said, thou shalt not go up. See, it's a good thing David inquired of him, didn't he? He said, don't you go up this time, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. You know, sometimes we don't just go hit our enemies face on when they come against this church or against our beliefs. Sometimes it's best to wait on the Lord, and he may tell you to go around the backside of them. You know, catch them when they get in trouble. Well, you just go around there and wait in the rear. I'll take care of this business. That's what he's telling David here. He really is. He said, you listened to me the first time, you listen to me this time, I'm going to really show you a victory this time, and you're not going to have to do anything. And that's exactly what he'll do for us in our battles. We just listen to the Lord, inquire of him. He said, go behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Now, why do you reckon he did that? Well, he's fixing to tell us. He said, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. You know what? When we wait on God, who's going to smite the Philistines? Did the Lord tell David, I'm going to tell you when you go. The Lord said he will go smite them this time. David, he told David to go smite them the first time, didn't he? This time he's saying, I'm going to go do it. And how many times did we see that when the children, Moses led those children out of Egypt? The Lord went before. The Lord went. It's constantly in the scripture. The Lord went before them. He fought their battles. He was their God. He was the captain of their army. Not Moses and those strong captains. They just did what God said. God did the fighting. And right here, God's doing the fighting. Go out. He said, the Lord go out before thee and to smite the host of the Philistines. He's the God of our battles. You think we can defeat Satan on our own? There's no way. It's without God on our side. Well, Saul proved that. Without God fighting our battles for me, Satan is way stronger than we'll ever be. Only Jesus Christ could defeat Satan, and he did it at Calvary, didn't he? And David, okay, verse 25, and David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Now, what happened was a wind on the top of those trees, this rustling noise, and what's these guys I read after them? Garshi, I like the way what they said, and or Isaiah. They said these were angels sent of God to help David destroy these Philistines. Now God told him to go over there and just wait behind those mulberry trees. When you hear the sound of those trees, you'll know when what to do. And what happened was, and I agree with these commentators, it resembled a march of armies. These angels, I think these angels went in there and defeated these Philistines. They slaughtered them. As a matter of fact, it was so great, the army turned and started running rearward, right where God told David and his army to go to the rear and wait. And here they come, and in verse 25, David did as the Lord had commanded him, and he smote the Philistines. In other words, they done threw down their weapons. They're running. They're headed back to the land of Philistine, wherever they're from. So David falls near behind him and his army. God's already defeated these people. They're running. So David, he just falls in behind them and gets the victory. Gets the spoil, so to speak. God did all the work. But that's what happened in that battle.
How many times do we in life expend a lot of energy and time when if we would have gone to the Lord in prayer
yes,
listen to what he said to us, we wouldn't have had to work nearly as hard to get to that point.
Amen.
Just things that we do.
Amen. You're absolutely right. And a lot of times we worry. You don't see David worrying here. Just, what am I going to do? Here they come again. They did just three times as many as it was before. And I'm just beside. No, he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. He'll give us our answer to what we need. I know it's natural for us to worry. I worry all the time, but we shouldn't. God tells us to listen to him. He directs our way, doesn't he? He does. And it's good to have a commander-in-chief, Jehovah God. No one can defeat him. He told us that over and over from Genesis to Revelation. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. How can you defeat? There's no army on this earth that can defeat somebody that knows the end from the beginning. And he'll do it. Faith, as the song said, is the victory. That, I saw that song. That's why I wanted to sing it. Faith is the victory. It overcomes the world. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We don't put our faith in what we can do. I don't need to put my faith in my account, my money that I saved up. Boy, I got my faith in that. I'm set up. I'm ready to go. He can take that away so fast it make you. My sister-in-law broke her ankle, and that was probably $20,000. I mean, that's nothing.
And your money can become useless overnight.
We put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's who we put our faith in. Okay, so now David has got rid of his enemy again. There's peace in Israel. He goes back to the palace, and here we start chapter 6, and we'll do 2 or 3 verses yet. Chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, he is back in his palace. His captains over his hundreds and the captains over his thousands, they all back in their headquarters and got their men all settled down now and sharpening their spears and getting things lined up. So everything's at peace right now. So David, he's sitting in his palace. Not that he doesn't have anything to do, but he never forgot about his God, his Lord. And now he's thinking about that ark that Israel lost a long time ago. I'd say over 50 years ago that ark's been missing. Philistines, if you remember, they captured it. I think it was like 50 years ago at this time of this happening. Again, verse 1, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from from Belay of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God. He's thinking about it. He wants it. Whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. Now David's he's wanting to bring this ark back from Belay of Judah to his own city. So he gathers together, according to these verses, his officers, his military officers and his civil officers, judges and all the people that's in high up in his court. They advise him about these chosen men. Look, all these top-notch people went to war with you. We need to get them all back. Let's gather them all up and we'll go get that ark with you. But we advise you, let's take everybody again. But this time, instead of going to battle, we're going in victory. We're going to go get the ark. Them boys, they geared up just like they'd whip anything and walked out from the woods while they were on this journey. But they're not going in battle. They're going in victory to get that ark. And let's see, Chronicles 13:1 says these words. These books are the same, some in a little more detail. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. Instead of fighting, these men of war would be now celebrating. Kind of like coming home in World War II. From the fields of war, you come home to New York to the parades. So these same men, now they celebrating. And now the ark had been in this city for over 50 years. If you remember 1 Samuel 7:1, I wrote it down. You don't have to go there, but just bring you back to memory. These Philistines had captured this ark during a battle. And they had it in their country and they had it in one of their false gods, played temples, and some of them opened up the ark, and I think it was like 80,000 of them died. And the Lord just struck them dead. And there was a lot of bad things was going on. So they called up these boys, these men to come get it. In 1 Samuel 7:1, I'll read it. And the men of Kajab the year, came and fetched up the ark of the Lord. Now they're going over, they wheel this thing in a cart halfway to the border and said, come get this thing. We don't want it no more. So they fetched the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. So now this ark, the Philistines said, you come get this thing. We got to get it out of here. It's killing us. So now the ark has been in this guy's house, Abinadab's house, and it's been 50 years that's passed. This ark is still over there. He appointed his son, Eleazar, to keep the ark of the Lord. And I think these boys were Levites. So they went and got it. And so now David, he's come to fetch it. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Now, it's been there a long time, so probably Abinadab is dead at this time. And Eleazar, which was in charge of the ark, he was the older son. He's probably passed away now. These two boys here are the other two sons of Abinadab, where the ark was at. So apparently they were passed on to keep possession of this, of the ark. And Uzziah, he was probably took the place of his older brother Eleazar, but the other one, he's a brother, so they both in charge of the ark. One of them's kind of like the head priest, the other one's the second command. So here they are, they get the ark, and the sons drave the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, and accompanying the ark of God. So if you remember, there was a bunch of gifts that these false priests sent back to Israel with the ark, trying to appease Jehovah God, I guess, you know. So it looks like they went and got those things also and brought it with the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. So the second command, he's out in the front, and the other one, he's standing right there at the cart making sure nothing's going to happen. But this was a big mistake, wasn't it? It said they brought it out of the house on a cart. It didn't make any difference if it was an old cart or a new cart. Them Philistines, they were ignorant. They didn't know any better to begin with. So they said, let's put a brand new cart and let's put some of these treasures on it. Maybe it'll appease their God. So these boys, they do the same thing. But yet, you know what the difference is? One of them's God's people, and the other one's a bunch of heathens. These ones is God's people. They knew better. They've been taught the law for years and years and years. God told them, this is what I want you to do. Not only just on how to carry this ark, but everything. They wasn't dumb people. I mean, they knew what to do. But yet, people read the scriptures and God says, thus saith the Lord, but yet people don't do it. They say, we're going to do it our way. It's more convenient. God's not pleased with that. As we fix to very well see, he struck Uzziah dead. I mean, right there on the spot for disobeying him. And we should be very careful. When God tells us, thus saith the Lord, we need to take heed of those things. We're not like the heathens that don't know any better. God has taught us and given us his commandments and left his word for us to study and learn. And we need to be very diligent on what we, how we worship our Lord. He's a very jealous God, and he hates sin. And if we do false worship, it's not to our advantage at all. It wasn't to this boy's advantage. Verse 5, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir. They played before this ark in front of the possession. You know, the corn, they bring in the corn out. This is a great thing. David's got 30,000 men of war, plus all the women that's around there, onlookers. There's thousands of people here, and David, he's thrilled to death to get this. He's in front of the possession. This was a symbol. It was a symbol of the presence of the Lord going before them. There was all sorts of instruments. It was a time of rejoicing, wasn't it? And that's, people, they just rejoice. They do worship, service for the Lord, but yet they're doing it in a wrong way, an ignorant manner. That's what God is not pleased with. They think they're putting on a big show. And they was getting ready. Boy, they was ready to do something here. But you know what? And David, verse 5, David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, on psalteries, and on trembles, on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzziah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, but the oxen shook it. Them old oxen stumbled, or either some people say they got stuck in a root in mud, and the oxen was trying to pull it, and the cart was shaking, and this old boy, he reached out there and touched it, grabbed a hold of it, and me in good faith, trying to protect that thing from falling in a mud hole or being kicked over and the cart fall on it, crush it or break it or whatever. But in good faith, he wasn't trying to displease God by doing that. He wanted to take it up himself. And some people said he took it up in his arms, not just to hold. He took it in his arms and was going to carry it so it would be safe, you know. He had good intentions, didn't he? But that doesn't make it right. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Tell you what, that's nothing to be take for an error doesn't make two wrongs don't make a right. I tell you what, and it's proven right here. The ark was put up on a cart. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of Levites, is what God told them to do. He said, they didn't even touch the cart to carry it. They had it on staves and put it on their shoulders and you carry it. But he touched it with his hand. He took hold of it to carry it to safety. Only a Levite priest could do this. They carried it with staves, those Levite priests. He showed little faith and dependent upon God to take care of the ark, did they? He's going to take it in our own hands. If we take things in our own hands, it doesn't work out good, never. We always got to depend on our God for everything. Follow His Word. That's the best we can do. We'll pick up there next time. Wait on the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. That's what we need to do, don't we? Brother Neil, dismiss us and we'll go home.
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this lesson tonight. Lord, we just thank you for your providence and providing for us. We thank you for your salvation through your Son's death on the cross.
Amen.
We thank you for all that are here tonight. Ask you to bless each family that's represented. Ask you to bless each and every person that's on our prayer list. Lord, you know those that we don't know. You know exactly what they need.